Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I want to wish everybody a happy Easter because we are taping before Friday, because Good Friday is Friday. And you know what? I'm allowing Jace to not worry about a show, you know, Friday.
That's my Easter present.
So Jace has been doing baseball games all over the state for Episcopal.
Yep.
I've been working on the magazine. Jace has been helping me with coaches. I've been calling coaches. So this is one of those shows that I hope you love it if you just like to hear good stuff. And then we might agree, disagree on some other stuff, which is good. And then we'll talk about the USFL today. Jace wants to throw some stuff at me. I don't even know what it's going to be. And then we're going to talk about LSU basketball. I've been keeping up with the team rebuilding. LSU baseball, I've been watching a lot of the LSU baseball games and have for years, but I really like this team. And then I want to talk about, we'll spotlight a school, John Curtis High School in River Ridge.
Not a bad school to spotlight.
Not bad at all. I think John Curtis is going to be one of the sleeper teams to win the state championship this coming season, because they have a chip on their shoulder and they've got talent that they played last year. We'll go ahead and start this segment with this, with John Curtis High School.
And when JT is underestimated, oh boy, watch out.
Well, what I saw last year, Jace, is John Curtis was super young, like really young. Now, I've seen young, but this is like really young. And the problem with everybody this year is that all his guys are back just about. And that's the thing about playing young guys. He played a bunch of young guys, and now they're all. And he's got some more guys that are sitting out that you're coming back that haven't played that are older. And Jace, here's an interesting stat. John Curtis High School might have the number one punter in the country, the number one kicker in the country, and the number one long snapper in the country all on their team next year.
You think their special team's going to be pretty good?
I think I'd give them that cue card 12. You see a slam dunk contest that you get the 12s? Maybe. Well, I'll give them a 12 on that. And that means, whoa. And then their track team is one of the best track teams right now in the state. They got two guys on the football team. I'll just say this. I want to save something for the preview magazine.
Don't reveal everything. Right.
But they got a guy running on the track team that's 210 pounds, 6'2". I'll save the name for the magazine. He's going to be a junior. Runs 4.45 and breaking records in the hurdles. I mean, this is going to be a very talented John Curtis High School football team, John Curtis Christian School in River Ridge, Louisiana, JT Curtis, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever, the head coach, his son's on the staff, Jeff Curtis, mostly family, former players. If you think Catholic High Baton Rouge is going to be a shoe-in, that's not going to happen, but they will be one of those other teams, along with Jesuit's going to be good again.
And keep in mind, and the car is actually now in the Division I bracket, too.
And now, the car is in the conversation.
Yep.
Brother Martin's going to be in the conversation because they were young last year. St. Aug is loaded, by the way. St. Aug might be the best St. Aug team on paper prior to Katrina and maybe before.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Yeah.
The Catholic League's going to be scary.
Yeah, it's going to be the SEC West, no doubt.
And then you got teams like Holy Cross that was young last year. Mm-hmm. They're going to be good next year.
Hank Tierney's coming back to Shaw.
They're going to be good next year because that was going to be the best team if Coach would have came back.
Right, if Coach Connors came back.
That was going to be the best team in 10 years at Shaw. So Hank's taking over at the right time from Ponchatoula, where he took Ponchatoula to the state championship game in 21 to lose to.
Yep, Zachary.
Zachary Broncos. Wow. I'm going to tell you something, Jason. When I was growing up, Zachary High School had trouble winning one or two games a year.
Right. And it was really when Coach Neil Weiner first really came there is when the program started to make the turn. And then obviously when Coach Brewerton took over after that, he took it to a whole different level.
Well, it was right before Neil.
Yeah.
There was a coach that came, that coached a little bit with your dad in Plaquemine.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Maybe you can get the name for me, but God, forgive me, Coach. But he brought it back. He took them to the playoffs, and they played Ouachita. I was there. And after they made that playoff game, they hadn't made a playoff game in like 20 years. But when Coach took them to the playoffs, that whole program changed. And then he left. We're going to get the name for you pretty soon. But when he left, Neil Weiner came in and then took it to another level. And then obviously Brewerton took it to the the highest level. But we're going to get the coach's name.
It's off the tip of my head, too. And so I'm doing my research right now. I'm Googling as we speak.
And I think Coach is still coaching somewhere as an assistant or retired, one of the two. But he was – I love this guy. He had coached 30 years, was at Zachary for like 5 years, I believe.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. I just can't get it in my head. Yeah,
we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. Maybe we'll have his name, Coach's name. Who I think actually started everything at Zachary. But keep an eye on John Curtis High School, River Ridge. This is going to be a team that can win a state championship in 5A ball, even though Edna Carr joined the district, which is, whoa, it's going to be the best district in the United States. I don't know if there's a better one in Los Angeles, Miami, Pennsylvania, Ohio, or Florida, any of those cities. Maybe St. Thomas Aquinas may be their district, but I got it.
Bob Howell.
That's it.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Bob Howell, in my opinion, was the one that started it.
Uh-huh, yep. Yep, you're right.
Because they didn't go to a playoff game for 20 years, and I was at the game. They were playing Wichita, and I looked at Bob and said, Bob, doesn't it feel great that y'all are in the playoffs, never making the playoffs, I think? I don't think they'd ever made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he did a lot of really good stuff at Plaquemine, too, before just the final got there. Yeah. So, yeah, he's a really good coach.
So, Bob, if you're hearing this show or you know Bob, taking my cap off to you, man. You started the Zachary stuff. You started it, and then Neil and then Brewerton.
Right.
And then the rest is history, man. Everybody knows who Zachary is now.
They're a juggernaut now. Yep.
You can go to Monroe and they go, yeah, Zachary. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're that team. They're that 5A program.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to let Jace tell me whatever he's going to tell me about the USFL. I have no clue what it is. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Jace Lejeune is in today. We're doing one of those holiday shows before the holidays. You know how that works. Because we got to have Easter. Can't do these during Easter. And we're not going to not have a third show. So, Jace, you were going to ask me something about the USFL. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what it's going to be.
So, you know, when you go to the XFL, the USFL, when they try these developmental leagues, what they're also not trying to develop players, but they're also trying to develop a set of rules, too. And if it sticks, maybe it's something the NFL can use as far as rule changes. And, you know, a lot of football fans says, you know, we wish that this could happen this way, this can happen that way. But I want to give you your thoughts on this. There's about 3 or 4 rule changes that the USFL is trying to do to make football more entertaining. Hmm. And you get to see those rule changes because the USFL starts, I believe, Saturday. So Saturday and Sunday is the first weekend of the USFL. But here's the first one. Onside kick, there's 2 choices. You can either do an onside kick if you want, let's say you're down by a touchdown late in the game.
Yeah.
2 minutes. You can either do an onside kick and try your luck with that, or you get the ball for 1 play, 4th and 12 from your own 33-yard line. If you make the 4th and 12, it's like the onside kick. If you recover it, it's like recovering your onside kick. If you convert the 4th and 12, you keep the ball, it's like recovering the onside kick. So those are 2 choices. Do you like that rule of having a 4th and 12 1-play shot to keep the ball? If you don't make it, then the other team gets the ball right where the line of scrimmage was originally at.
I think they're trying to do this to make the game watched
mm-hmm.
funner.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I don't have a problem with it. I think they're all going to take the 4th and 12.
Yeah, you have a better chance converting on the 4th and 12 yeah. than you do recovering the onside kick.
Especially if your quarterback is good and your receivers. So
mm-hmm.
it might be not an advantage to everybody, but I'm taking that 4th and 12 to convert to score, to tie it, right?
Right. I like that. I mean, I hope that's something the NFL
I don't think takes. The kicker is going to like that much because then they're not going to want the guy to do onside kick because now they can position those guys
yep.
where they can pretty much, it's very rare that they lose those now.
And the only other negative thing, that if you do go 4th and 12, let's say your quarterback runs backward like 20 yards, they can get the ball. The other team gets the ball at the 10-yard line. So that's another thing to think about. Yeah. But, I mean, I like that idea. I think that's something that can catch on in the USFL.
I don't like it for the NFL because then it would maybe cheat some games. Like you could play well all game and then, bam, lose it from that.
Yep.
I think, too, would they do it consecutively if they're down by 14 with 2 minutes left?
And this is at least the next rule change that I'm going to talk to you about. After you score a touchdown, you know how you just have the 1-point conversion, the 2-point conversion after you score. Yeah. Well, the USFL, you have three options. Number one, you can go for the extra point as usual. Number two, you can go for the 2 points as usual. Hmm. This is the kicker. There's a 3-pointer in football. They put the ball at the line of scrimmage at the 10-yard line. And if you can convert, it's like a 2-point play from the 10-yard line. If you can score, that's a 3-pointer. So if you think about it, usually if football fans, they watch a game, your team's down by 9, it's a 2-possession game. But in the USFL, it's a 1-possession game. Because of 9 points, you can score a touchdown, get the 3 points.
I don't like that one.
Well, the reason why they're doing that is because let's just say your team is down by 18, and you would think, it's three possessions, but 18 is 2 possessions.
But you're punishing the team that was up 18 the whole game.
Good point.
I don't like that because then you're like, you're never – coaches stress enough as it is. Jace, I mean, they stress. I mean, you realize how much stress it puts on a guy now?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm up by 18, and –
It is hard, though. I mean, you're telling me you score a touchdown, get the three-pointer, score another touchdown, get the three-pointer.
So, basically, if you're up by 18.
You're up by 2 possessions.
Or 2 possessions. There's 2 minutes left. I'm worried about getting these first downs because I'm going to lose the game probably because of all these new rules. Or, I mean, they might lose their job in these. I mean, this is just – I just think it's too much. Now,
I get why they're doing it, to make games closer, you know, for the fans.
More entertaining.
Right. Right.
They're trying to experiment in this league and say, oh, people are going to like that. It's kind of like Canadian League.
Uh-huh.
They got like 20-yard end zones.
Yep.
Can you imagine the NFL having a 20-yard end zone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those receivers have all that room now. You know, there's no over-the-shoulder anymore, right?
Yeah, right.
But in Canada, that's such an advantage to the offense because they can convert those long throws in a 20. I mean.
Right.
You know, you're not worried about 2 feet in.
And you're right, because one thing might work for one league. Like, this might work for the USFL, but it might not necessarily work for the NFL or the Canadian Football League or the Arena Football League, whatever. But
I think it should be used. You can use it once.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In a game, but not more than once.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know, if it's tied up and they want to do it again, no. You've used – when you want to use your mulligan.
Right. It's kind of like the like a challenge, you know? Yeah. You get 2 challenges, and so – and maybe, like a challenge, if you convert on that one mulligan, maybe you get another attempt if you make it. If you miss it, that's it. Maybe it's something like that you go with.
Well, pretty soon we're going to have, like, Dwayne Johnson out there throwing passes.
Well, that's coming next year. That's the XFL, so that's coming next year.
Goodness.
And then let me go – there's 2 more I want to go over with you. The next one, I'm not so sure about this one. You know how when you throw a pass – behind the line of scrimmage, you can't throw it again. Well, that's what the USFL is trying to do. You can throw 2 forward passes behind the line of scrimmage.
Good luck for them finding good referees. Because right now, referees are not very good in pro ball, college, or basketball or football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with college basketball, but the fake charges that they're giving out.
Yeah.
I mean... The guy from – and look, I know –
I mean, it's the pass interference of basketball. That's the pass interference play of basketball.
I know Arkansas was good, but their center, he was more of an actor than anybody in the Titanic. Okay? I mean, this guy, he was getting 4 calls a game where he was faking it. And LSU, he did it 3 times, and they called in on the LSU guys, and they didn't even touch him.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to have a freaking, like, summer, like, you know, X's and O's meeting somewhere in, like, Hollywood to meet on this to say, look, we got to clean up the faking it.
Right, right.
The fouls are just, man. And yep. Then in college football, the interference calls to that.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, the charge call, it's the pass interference call for basketball. I mean, it's the same thing. You look at it both ways, and it's one of those things that it really depends on the referee's point of view and what the referee wants to do. And that it's just their preference.
I know at the high school version, these guys are learning. Like, half of them are young every year, and the other half have been doing it forever. High school guys do it all. I mean, a lot of volunteering, basically, with them getting paid, right? I'm all about paying high school umpires and referees more money, right?
Yeah, and there is actually a shortage right now.
There's a shortage. In college, though, you expect them to be better. Mm-hmm. In the pros, you expect them, right, to be pros. But I don't know, man. Sometimes I wonder, you know, when those guys were doing it in the 80s, they weren't making any money. But, you know, college and pro refs make good money now.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, NFL refs make 100 a year in, like, 3 months.
Well, the microscope is on you making those calls. And after all, I mean, the referees are there to manage the game. And then I have, let's see, I have one more. So, overtime. So, they have an overtime rule that's a little bit different. So, basically, it's a best of three shootout. So, three plays by both teams, and let's say both of them go 2 for 3. Then it's just sudden death after that. So, that's their overtime proposal. But I like what the NFL did for the playoffs coming up next year, because I felt like the Bills, you know, deserve another opportunity, especially how Josh Allen was playing in that playoff game with the Chiefs. I really like how the NFL said, like, we need to make the right call here, and both teams get an opportunity in the overtime in the playoffs. And I think that's what's most deserving for the playoffs. That I don't like how you win the coin toss, and that pretty much guarantees the game.
Yeah. You know what I stopped doing, Jason? This is the analogy I'll have. You remember when you go to the circus and they'd give you, like, these little coupons to, like, go throw to win the stuffed animal?
Yeah.
And you'd have to hit, like, this little bucket or something with, like, a little, I don't know, something that was a little
water gun or something,
And if you get so many, you know, you get this stuffed animal or whatever. I quit playing all that. And that's what I hope doesn't happen with football, is that we start doing stuff that's just, like, it's just like a circus.
Yeah. You know? I was like afraid they're going to do like a field goal kicker competition over time to see which kicker makes like the farthest field goal
because
or something.
I really never wanted any of those stuffed animals, you know. I never wanted the 20-cent pack of gum that nobody ate like 20 years ago. I don't know. I don't like it. I do like the one thing you said, though. I do like the one shot, 12 yards.
I like that, too. That was the one that stuck out to me the most.
But I only get one of them, because if you keep giving it to them all game.
Well, I think it's going to be one of those things, like the two-minute warning and past that, that's when you can use it. You can't just, like, do that every single possession. You know, only, like, when you're down by a touchdown late in the game and you need to do that.
Well, that's the crazy world of USFL, which is going to be Easter weekend.
I'm going to keep my eye on it. I'm going to see how this looks. I mean, the last two developmental leagues didn't last a whole year,
they kept the old names from when I was growing up, so they know that we know the names. Well, what's the players going to be like?
If you had college football and the NFL in the fall, and then if, you know, the XFL comes next year, so you'll have the USFL and XFL in the spring, to me, that's just more football, and hopefully these developmental leagues do work.
And the USFL basically needs to steal some golf fans, because now you got a big golf soccer crowd.
Yeah, really. The only thing going on right now would be
track.
Yeah, track. I mean, you have Major League Baseball, college baseball, and auto racing. That's pretty much about it.
Yeah, and then they just need to steal some viewers. I'm going to watch one time and give it a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it this weekend. There's really nothing else I'm going to be watching this weekend, so I'll keep my eye on it this weekend.
See what quarterbacks on each team, how many times he's been cut.
Well, you get to see a Louisiana guy as one of the starting quarterbacks, because Shea Patterson's one of the starting quarterbacks in USFL.
Calvary Baptist.
Yep.
Ole Miss and Michigan.
It was the first overall pick, and you actually will see the first two picks. You have Patterson, and you have Tiamu. That's another Ole Miss quarterback, right. So he's going to be playing in this league,
Jordan, too. Jordan Tiamu really hurt LSU pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah, I thought he was really good.
Yeah. There was a guy way back, Jace, before you were born, named Kent Austin, that used to be at LSU every year.
Okay.
And that was, Kent Austin was either right before John Forcade or right after.
Okay, so this was like early 80s.
Billy Brewer days.
Oh, okay. Ole Miss, yeah, yeah.
In the 70s.
70s, yeah.
And Kent Austin, as a kid, I was like, man, that guy's got LSU's number. Kind of like John Bond went to Mississippi State.
Yeah, he beat them every year. Every year, man. He beat LSU.
I remember going to games with my dad as a kid. I'm like, Dad, why are we even going to this game?
You're never going to lose.
John Bond owns LSU. And, man, you didn't even want to eat your peanuts by halftime. But, look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk LSU baseball. I've been watching a lot of games. I've been watching the team like a lot of listeners have. And I'm really growing on this team. I really like this team. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. The team, LSU baseball. I think Coach Johnson's doing a really good job. I think Jace, and I want to say this, let me be careful. I'm a football fan, but I'm also a baseball fan. There are a lot of football fans.
You have that mentality. Yeah, like, you lose one game, the sky's falling.
But I'm a football fan that understands baseball, where I can turn off how baseball's different than football. Football, you only play maybe 12 games, right? If you go to the playoffs, maybe 15 total with the national championship game. But
the room for error is very small. Very small in football.
Baseball. You might lose three in a row and people start freaking out, man.
Look what LSU baseball did at the start of last year.
Right. And they're doing way better than last year. But, nobody thought they'd win a game at Mississippi State, who just won a national championship. They go to Mississippi State in Nobley Field, which is a freaking penthouse. It's a great place.
Probably you can say probably the top place to play a college baseball game.
So.
Yeah,
I think so. And they win all three games. And LSU didn't even play good. Some of the first two games, third game, it was just a blowout.
I know they were building, but that's still the defending national champions in their house.
They're very talented.
Yeah.
And State, it's baseball. They'll go on a run, and they'll probably be in a regional and all that stuff. But the point I'm making is, it takes your baseball team a month or two to kind of, develop the continuity, kind of like a basketball team.
Right.
It takes a little while.
And everybody's new. A whole new coaching staff. Man, you have a lot of transfers coming in.
There are some fans locally that were freaking out, like losing a game or two. And, it's pretty common for a college baseball team that goes to Omaha to be like 48-11 or like 50-10 or like 45-13. I mean, they're going to lose games.
Yep.
And I didn't think Texas would lose a game in baseball. I made that mistake because they had three first-round pick pitchers, Jace, but one got hurt. And when that one guy got hurt,
they lost a midweek game.
They have been going downhill ever since. Now they have more losses than LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
And LSU couldn't beat Texas early on.
And it was one of those things, you looked at the schedule this year with LSU baseball, like all the really tough series were on the road. And I'm not sure about this. But LSU has actually played better on the road than they have played in Alex Box.
Well, they might lose two out of three to Arkansas this week, but I still think I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I haven't said it yet, but I think this team is definitely going to host a super regional in the end.
Yep.
I don't know if they'll get to Omaha. I think they can. And if they do get to Omaha, they're going to be that team you don't want to play because there's six guys that might end up with 15 home runs.
Their offense is
unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And the guys are learning their positions that were only one-year guys that came back. I really think switching out Thompson and Doty is going to work.
Yeah, once they find their most ideal defensive lineup, this team's going to be really scary.
But here is the thing that's made me believe LSU could be they can win it all in the end. Josh Pearson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a freshman from West Monroe. He just won the starting right field position. He hit two home runs and a double. His swing, Jace, and I've been watching baseball at LSU going back to Ben McDonald days, Todd Walker and Russ Johnson. Now, there's people that have been watching way longer than me, but his swing is like Todd Walker, and Todd had one of the best swings ever. But you throw Josh in there now, and Josh Stevenson from St. Thomas More High School, who played a little left field with Dugas, and if I'm Dugas and I'm DiGiacomo, I'm like, whoa, I might get my job back. Those two young guys have solidified this, and their catchers are starting to hit. Travinsky, who's from Airline High School in Shreveport.
That was another thing at the beginning of the year.
Got a lot of power. And the catcher that came in from Sanford, from Slidell, Louisiana, is hitting the ball. So I really believe this team, I don't care if they end up with 16 losses, they just need to host a regional. I think they will in the end. And if they get to Omaha, they are the team to beat. I mean, Barry, wow, Cruz.
Yeah, Cruz, Doty, Morgan.
Morgan is unbelievable. Morgan just battles at the plate. I mean, he's got that football, and he played football with Brother Martin too, but he's got that mentality. You're not going to get me out. And if you do, it's going to take 14 pitches. I'm still not high on Barry at third, but Barry's getting better with defense. He's getting better. Joe Bear has been a surprise.
Yeah, he's been really good.
But Joe Bear's a streak hitter, but still, he'll end up with 16, 17 home runs probably.
He's one of those things, you look at the batting average at the end of the year, and it's like, well, it was not that great. Then you look at the home run totals, like, right. I mean, it's all all or nothing.
He might bat, like, 100 in 1 week, and then the next week bat 500 with 10 home runs. I mean, that's the kind of guy he is.
Yep. Well, baseball, the numbers are always going to balance out. You have a good weekend, you might fall out with a bad weekend, but the numbers are always going to balance themselves out.
And one guy can beat you, the pitcher. He can beat you. He can beat you, and you can be good and all that, but if he's on, there's nothing you can do.
Well, I really like LSU's pitching staff.
Incredible.
But, yeah, really incredible pitching staff. And if somebody can really solidify being that ace, being that guy, that dude, then I think that's all the problems solved for them.
They don't even need an ace because they've got seven starters, so two guys are sharing the Friday and Saturday roles.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, harder to scout. I mean, Hilliard has really changed the staff.
Yeah, he's been really good.
And even if Hilliard only goes five, they really bring in, like, another starter to go to the other five or four, four and a half. But you've got so much talent at pitcher, and they're closers. They got three closers, this Gauze kid, Razelman. I mean, they are freaking just unbelievable. The two freshman pitchers from Alabama are incredible.
Yeah, Dutton's been good.
Dutton came on our show.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Before he enrolled.
Yep.
I think this team, and look, I'm going to tell you, and I still got a little football mentality in me. When they were losing like 6 out of 9, I'm like, you know, but you got to just be, you got to just, and I know that the baseball people listen and understand, man, it's, when that team starts rolling, it's going to be good stuff.
Well, this is a good weekend series to really see where they are, because Arkansas is up there. They're in the top echelon of SEC baseball team, so if they can win a series there, then they will definitely have opened a lot of people's eyes.
Well, this is what I want to see. I want to see LSU get payback on Tennessee and Omaha, and I want Tennessee to be like 59-1. Right now they're 31-1, which is the best record in ever.
Yep.
Beat the LSU start, like broke all the records. And look, take my hat off that Tennessee coach.
Yeah.
But I want to see LSU pay back Tennessee. Because they eliminated LSU last year.
He may rub people the wrong way, but that's just what a lot of great coaches do. I mean, if you look at no matter what the sport, you say, man, that guy rubs me the wrong way. That's because he's a coach that's competitive and he wants to win. That's all he wants to do. And those type of guys that usually have the most success are going to rub you the wrong way.
I'm not going to take anything away from Tennessee, Jace, but they lead the nation in home runs, but they also have the smallest outfield in the conference. So left and right is half the distance of LSU's outfield, to give you an idea.
So once we get to Omaha, we'll see what they can do.
See if they can, you know, get those 12 runs a game. It might be 5 or 6, which is still good. But LSU's averaging about 7 to 8 runs a game right now, and I don't even think they've hit their stride yet.
Yeah, and they play in some deep ballparks. So
yeah, but Josh Pearson, who's, get this, Jace, his older brother's in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
His younger brother's committed to LSU for next year.
How about that?
Three brothers, all MLB prospects.
Yeah, all, must be a good baseball family there.
Yes. So his younger brother's bigger than him. He's 6'2", 10".
Mm-hmm.
He's coming in next year. The older brother went in the second round, I think, and signed the money. I think if it would have been during COVID, he might have showed up. But Josh Pearson is going to change this team with that swing, because guess what? You've been doing baseball games for Episcopal.
Yeah.
You get to a point where you can't just walk everybody to avoid somebody. I mean, you got to pitch to somebody.
Yeah, that's when you have yourself a really good batting order from top to bottom, and LSU does. You look at the first three guys in their lineup, they're all All-Americans, and then you go to Joe Bear and then Dugas, and I mean, it's really crazy up and down the order.
And you got Pearson batting. I don't know what he's going to bat. If I don't say the right one, forgive me, but it's either 7 or 8 he's batting, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, like, he could be someone's best hitter.
Oh, yeah. On a lot of different teams. Right. But unfortunately, on this LSU team, he's probably 6 or 7 or down the line.
But they remind me of Mississippi State last year with a little more power, because State could hit.
They're a great hitting team, yep.
And that's why State won it. They could hit against anybody.
Well, you need one or the other. Where are you going to go? You're going to go with a team that can score you 10, 11 runs a game, or you're going to go with the dominant pitching that it's going to be hard to score 2 runs on them.
Yeah.
So you got to go one or the other to win your national championship.
And just remember this, Jaden Hill didn't return from last year, who threw
98. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about him. Yep.
And their stud pitcher from Destrehan, who was drafted as a junior.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So really, LSU didn't return their Friday, Saturday, or Sunday starters this year. Their Sunday starter from Florida, he signed a minor league contract as well. So
good point.
All new pitchers, and take my hat off, my cap, as they do in baseball, to Coach Johnson. He didn't flinch when all the negativity was going on.
Yeah.
If anything, he's probably like, wow, these people love their baseball.
Well, it takes some adjusting, too, because coming from the Pac-12 to the SEC, that's a whole different ballgame when it comes to how much people care.
I'm pretty
about
sure
it.
There weren't 10,000 people in Tucson going,
yeah, it's
game.
Different. But he's adjusted well, and that's what fans have to realize. It takes a little bit of adjusting to go to a new situation and a new – I mean, you're talking about LSU. It's like the main number one baseball job in all of college baseball. So it takes a little bit of adjusting.
I'm going to tell you what. They have a chance to win their 7th national championship. 7. 7, they have 6.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to end the show. Lieber Keene, Jace Lejeune, we'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company, located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. We're going to end the show today. I want to thank all my sponsors. I'm not going to do like all reads, Jace, but I want to mention their names. Treads and Care Tire Center, Medine's Collision Center, Gros Savon, which is you got a book for your lodge, fishing or hunting, right around Lake Charles. Gage. I want to thank Marriott, Jace. They're helping us now. Basically, it's a reminder. We've got to get them ready for our next TV video show. With Marriott, and also Superior Grills coming in to the show to help out with our TV show. Marriott.
Awesome.
Superior Grill, Marriott on College Drive.
Yep.
Used to be the old Hilton, which is a great, great place. Want to thank the GM over there, Ralph Ney.
Yeah, have to give a shout out to Ralph.
And Superior Grill, Bob Kershoff, and all our sponsors. I mean, I appreciate. And the last one I want to mention is our first one. Harvey Toyota and Subaru in Shreveport, Bossier City. Tommy, appreciate your sponsorship. Tommy Harvey, the owner, who is a big football, baseball fan, by the way. Actually, he likes State.
Yeah, that's what you told me. Yep.
But he's also LSU guy because his wife loves LSU.
Well, he's in a bind whenever they play each other.
That's right. So appreciate Tommy Harvey. Go make sure you think of buying a car, used or new. Go to Bossier City or Shreveport, Louisiana, and support these guys. Treads and Care, Tire Center, Medine's Collision Center, Gage, Gros Savon, Superior Grill, and Marriott. We're growing it. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back after Easter. And we've got to tell everybody about Monday's show. It's going to be good, Jace. Monday's show.
Yeah, Bunky High School head football coach Nick Pujol. He's done a really good job with the program, and really – really at Bunky, they do a really good job of really playing with what they have, and they do a real good job of maximizing that talent And really, it's great to see and hear from him and talk about the team coming up, but really how great all the other sports programs are doing over there. And he was just talking about how good the baseball team's doing and how good the softball team's doing, track's doing well, and football's coming off four straight playoff appearances. So, yeah, doing a real good job at Bunky, and I know it means a little bit extra to him since he graduated there. So make sure you checked out that show. That'll be the first show after Easter on Monday. Check that out.
Nick Pujol.
Yeah, Pujol.
Who's a great guy. Great guy. Four, like you said, four playoff appearances in a row. Wednesday show, we've got a great show too. Which is, I'm pretty excited. We're going to promote a school from Opelousas, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Westminster,
yep.
Travis Blaze is going
to
join.
Will join us, and he'll have a couple of his recruits, so it'll be great to have him on and talk about those guys and talk about the team as well. So it was good to have Coach Blaze on, and we're looking forward to having him on next week. So that'll be our video show next Wednesday, and then I'm sure you've probably seen it already, but make sure you check out yesterday's show, which would be – we had a couple of guests on, so we were juggling a couple of guys. Yeah. Ben Hubbard from Crowd Push. You had Catholic High's offensive coordinator, Zach Moore. So all he's done in his first year there was win a state championship.
Yeah.
And then one of the best players in the Baton Rouge area that I've seen and heard from the last 4 years, and Micah Johnson. And
Parkview Baptist.
From Parkview Baptist. So a really great show. Check that out. That's on YouTube and Podbean as well.
In the following week, we're working on getting Mangum High School coach on, which is going to be really good. Mangum has been one of the best programs in North Louisiana the last 20 years.
Yep.
And they've got a phenomenal team coming back at Mangum.
As usual.
Big, strong, and fast Mangum High School. Again, we'll see you. If you have any questions for us, write to us at lafootballmagazine.com. We have articles from our interns.
Yeah, and also give a shout out to Cedric and Freedy doing a great job.
Yeah, Freedy and Cedric are doing a great job. Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan. Yep.
And then we've got a couple of new interns coming in this summer. And by the way, speaking of interns, if you have a daughter or son who is going to college or a senior in high school and want to get into broadcasting, journalism, or social media, write to us at lafootballmagazine.com. You can either intern with our company or you can come in if you just want to learn and be a part of it to get your feet wet to get in the business. That's how I got started. That's how Jace got in it when he started at Catholic High Baton Rouge.
Yep, right out of high school.
Right out of high school. Started out, and, you know, it might not be the greatest, you know, there might not be financial reward at the beginning, but guess what? You grow, and over time you'll get there and you'll be – you'll be doing this for life to stay in the business. And Jace is having that role right now, doing baseball, working with us.
So. Yep, doing this and VSN. I got a lot of great opportunities. I called some Southeastern football games for ESPN Plus. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for working with Lee and knowing all those guys and hearing about, because they all play in state colleges, if it wasn't for hearing all about all those guys, I'm not sure how prepared I would be to do it. So I appreciate Lee and everything he's done for me and or to get the opportunities that I'm given right now.
Yeah, we're looking for more Jaces to come in. So, again, you can if you have a daughter or son, and especially if you're a coach listening, it's always a coach's kid that's usually wanting to get in the business. If you don't want to be a coach, we don't want to steal you from the coach, but if you want to get in the business and stay in it, just give us, write us, lafootballmagazine.com. Everybody have a great Easter.
Yeah, have a happy Easter, Lee.
And happy Easter, Jace. Go I don't do the hidden eggs anymore. I'm too old. But I'll probably go get those little eggs you eat that are made out of chocolate.
Yeah.
The gold bricks. That's the only time I eat them during Easter is gold bricks with peanuts in them. I crave the gold bricks.
Yeah, I think I've seen Mr. Peter Cottontail too much already.
That's right, Jace. He actually dressed up as a bunny rabbit for his dad's school.
Yep.
Glad you pulled that off. We're going to go.
He owes me big time.
There you go. Ron, if you're hearing, you're next. You're the next bunny, I guess, Jason's saying.
Oh, there's no way he's going to do it anymore.
We'll see. We'll see. We will see
Monday.
You on Monday. Bye. Gros Savon Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savon Lodge has fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and echo tours. Located south of Lake Charles, Louisiana, give them a call at 337-598-2357. That number to call again is 337-598-2357. 2357 and have the time of your life. Gage has served Louisiana for over 40 years. Let Gage create a custom tailored solution for your business and become your partner in technology. Give them a call today at 225-753-4243 and help your business get better connected with Gage.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.